The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No, no, no. Alawa. Who need
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
I think I found that voicemail.
It's nicely done. Yeah, there you go.
Well played. No, it's hung up here without a label on it. That's why I said, I can't find it.
Well, the day we go by a complete show with no technical problems, I may just retire.
This doesn't even count as a technical problem. This is just, I'm the problem.
Well.
And I'm not all that technical. Welcome to the Forcecast, Star Wars fans across the globe. This week's episode for May 11th, 2007. Tongue tied already. All that celebration, excitement.
It's in the air.
Oh, man.
Freaky.
That is freaky. We're starting to think alike and at the exact same moment time.
That's when it's really going to start to spiral out of control.
Well, we want to thank our sponsors for this week's show, Official Picks. You want to visit them over at officialpicks.com. Of course, as you know, they are the official autograph vendor for Celebration 4. And I believe that the door is still open. That they are accepting volunteers over at officialpicksvolunteers.com. You can read all the details, get yourself some free stuff. Hey, you're going to Celebration anyway. Might as well, put a little time and work in and give something back to the community. And at the same time, get some free stuff.
Get some swag.
Yeah, man. So, and Jay's told us all kinds of good stories about, you know, working towards the end of the show when they're tearing down and maybe some leftovers. You never know.
You never know.
So, anyway, thanks to them, they do make the show possible. A lot of bandwidth. A lot of demand.
Yeah.
For the Forcecast.
Can't be upset about that.
No. It's a good problem to have. Okay. This is something that it's been an idea kind of in the back of our minds. It's very cliche radio. I'm sure Jimmy Mack will be going, oh, they're not doing this. But we've been getting emails from folks, asking that we do some birthday shout-outs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once we get C4 over and done with, we're going to try to get some kind of a birthday shout-out promotion going on. But Pete, you have probably the biggest birthday shout-out to announce.
Right.
Can you handle it?
Yes, I certainly can. This coming Monday, as this show goes live, May 14th, celebrates one of the most important birthdays in the Star Wars universe. I'm talking about mine.
May 14th.
I share that with the maker. I'm very happy to enjoy that. But no, seriously, in all seriousness, the big birthday that we have coming up on May 14th is dedicated Forcecast listener David Senden.
Happy birthday, David.
Yes. Well, and of course, absolutely topping them all, you know, and all joking aside, happy birthday, George Lucas. We thank every May 14th that you came around and were able to bring us Star Wars and all this stuff to talk about.
What would I do all week? You know, did you ever wonder that? Like, if we didn't have this stuff to do, what would we do?
I have no idea. I don't even like to think about it.
We might be doing the Boston Legal podcast.
That's a possibility. I don't know if there's as big a demand for the Boston
Probably
Legal
not.
Podcast either.
Probably not, but it'd be kind of fun.
It would be fun.
Just you and me.
Yes, just the two of us talking back and forth.
And maybe John Fagan. Anyway, well, happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
You got any big plans?
There's this trip I was planning on taking. I can't remember what it is, but it should be something special.
Well, my birthday's not until August, so my birthday is all about Celebration 4 and the iPhone.
Yes.
So I will be opening nothing on my birthday.
You know, everybody asks, you know, well, what would you like for your birthday? Although there aren't that many people out there that buy me gifts anymore. You know, my parents really don't buy me gifts anymore.
That happens as you get older. Isn't that sad?
It's rough. But, you know, what I told them is money. And I never have asked for money before. It's always been, you can buy me Star Wars toys. That's great. But now I just want to have money so that I can go out to celebration for and buy all the stuff that I've already pre-ordered.
Like, look, folks, the money's already spent, okay?
I am broke before I even leave town.
It's just a formality. Well, obviously, with all those birthdays, there is there's lots to celebrate. Well, well, well.
Your transitions are getting so much more creative.
Are they?
They are.
I was thinking of that one the whole time as we were warming up for the show. You know, I'm wondering something. Ah, I thought we were having a problem and we weren't. So that pregnant pause was for naught. Anyway, it is the road to celebration. We've been counting the weeks down for months. And we're finally down to how many weeks?
2 weeks to go.
Wow.
It's hard to believe.
It really is. It really is. And we've been, of course, giving out tips.
And this is actually, this week's tip is actually a listener-inspired tip.
It is.
Now, we're going to change it a little bit.
Yeah, we actually have to kind of stop our celebration music for this because we got a voicemail from a listener. And it inspired us to give you this next tip. So if we could play it right here. Here we go. Oh, no. That's not it. It's right here. I'll get it right one day.
Technical problems.
Evan from Bozeman, Montana. Just calling in with, I guess, sort of a sadder a Star Wars tale regarding C4. I won't be able to go. You guys get a lot of messages from people. It's like, oh man, yeah, I'm going, and I'm just like, no. in with that, I've got another tip for your listeners. Don't get mugged going to C4. I would hate to see anybody get mugged. The reason I'm not going, this is the kind of interesting part, is that it's at the request of my mother, believe it or not. I'm 20, but I still listen to my mom, who she used to live in L.A., and she knows that the area around the convention center is very suspicious. So anybody who's going there, lock your car when you park it, or even while you're in it and driving, because people have been mugged in a moving car. I know this is probably not the kind of thing you want to broadcast, but if you don't, there might be some upset people. Just be careful out there. But as for me, I'll definitely be watching all six films while and thinking of C4. So keep up the good show, guys. It's a great program. It's great to hear fellow Star Wars aficionados out there being generally awesome. And I may call again sometime. Bye.
Okay. Well, there you go. That is the sort of the inspiration for this week's tip. So let's get the party started again, because that was kind of a downer, I have to say.
Yes.
So can we get it started? That was too heavy.
But it does bring up a good point.
Yes, it does.
So our official tip for this week is not don't get mugged. It's a little more conscious than that. Safety first.
Yeah.
Have the buddy system in place. Make sure that people know where you are, know where you're going, just in case. Granted, there's going to be 40,000 Star Wars fans running around, and I don't think we're going to leave anybody behind. So,
yeah.
We'll all be looking out for each other, but, you know, make sure that you've got someone looking out for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a great point. It's just using common sense. Like Pete said, if you're going out, just make sure somebody knows where you're going. Keep your cell phone charged. Keep your cell phone on you. And just if, when you can, you know, always be with somebody else. I mean, anytime you go to a strange city, it doesn't care, no matter what city it is, it's right. always good to at least, you know, let people know where you're going and things like that. So I don't know if it's quite as grim as a picture as it was painted. Our own Jay Shepard is from the Los Angeles area, and he's given no indication there's any real reason to be totally afraid.
And Kyle Newman, of course, told us that things are looking up in the downtown area.
That's so. Right. We just had an interview with Kyle that'll be hitting in our big C4 pre-show. And yeah, that's exactly right. He said that downtown L.A. is actually on the move, on the way up. So at any rate, it's still something good to keep in mind. That's your tip. 2 weeks to go. It's the buddy system. You can't beat it. It's great for convention survival. But we don't have to be totally total downers on it. But we appreciate the thought nonetheless. We want you to be safe. 2 weeks to go on the road to celebration.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
This is the Weekly Forcecast with Jason and Pete.
I don't really understand it. What do you want this loan for?
I
want
to build a giant space station that can destroy a planet.
I don't know that that would be a good investment on our end.
I mean, I want to open a sports bar.
The galaxy is listening.
Well, in what is becoming a new segment, a new regular segment on the show, we do have some Indiana Jones news. And Pete, you want to tell us a little bit about this?
Well, there's a big update. Well, I guess it's not really a big update. It's just confirmation that, of course, Indiana Jones' father, Dr. Henry Jones, is in the script for Indy 4.
My boy, we're pilgrims in an unholy land.
That's not me. That's ridiculous.
Of course, Sean Connery still has not agreed to come on and repraise the role, but of course, we are keeping all fingers crossed, and again, the fallback is we just CGI him in there and we'll find someone to do the voice.
Well, you know, I was thinking, I guess if you really needed somebody to replace him, you could get John Rhys Davies. Now, I know what you're saying. He was Sala.
But that's ridiculous.
But he also played Sean Connery's character of Malone in a really bad remake of The Untouchables that was based on the Kevin Costner film.
Okay.
And it kind of worked. And so we know that Sala's not coming back.
Well, true.
So, you know, maybe he could bring him in.
It's disgraceful. You're old enough to be her grandfather. Come on, Miss Human is the next man.
I was the next man.
Well, there you go. There's your Indy 4 update. Henry Jones is in. Sean Connery, not yet. But that could all change. I suspect it will. It's just a formality. And we got
Show
a little bit
of amount of time.
Your Indy update.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
And we do have lots of news for you this week. Some, about some TV series news. A few things came out. I mean, nothing earth-shattering, but over at TheForce.net, they were reporting on Randy Stradley's MySpace page. Of course, you all know Randy Stradley, who's a big figure in Star Wars comics. That he had actually, again, according to his blog on MySpace, that, well, let's just say here, this is exactly what he said. By way of contrast, last year I had the opportunity to write an episode of Lucas Animation's upcoming Clone Wars TV series. It was an interesting experience, and it came with a substantially better pay than a comparable amount of work in comics. I wrote an outline based on a synopsis provided to me, then rewrote the outline based on notes received from the producer, director, and head writer. Once that was approved, I wrote a script. Again, after a round of notes, I rewrote the script. At that point, my involvement with the script ended, but based on various production concerns, the expense in animating certain sequences or changes in direction of the series as a whole, after my participation. My script was rewritten by other writers a number of times. I'm told there is still one scene in the episode that is more or less as I wrote it. Now, based on what I've seen of the show, I'm quoting here. Now, based on what I've seen of the show, I doubt very much that I will be disappointed with the quality of, quote unquote, my episode. Heck, I'm sure it will make me look better than I deserve, but I can't deny there's a part of me that wishes I had more control. In comics, I would. Again, that's coming from Randy Stradley's MySpace blogs. This gives us a little bit of insight into the pre-production process. I'm sure it mirrors most, you know, most television series, but it's interesting nonetheless that, well, one, that they are maybe mining the farm here of Star Wars writers in some of these other mediums, comics and potentially, you know, novels as well, and maybe video games, and who knows. So sure. they're tapping this as a resource, which I think is great. The other thing here to point out is the fact he says, now, based on what I've seen of the show, he thinks it's going to be really great. Now, you could say, well, maybe he hasn't seen anything more than we have.
Sure.
My hunch is that he has. I'm sure he's seen more than just that, you know, the two Yoda pictures that have been released. you know, I'm glad we've seen those. But so this is interesting. This could really mean a lot in terms of just the influence of the EU cropping into something like, you know, the TV series.
Yeah. And to his point of, I wish I had more control, obviously that's something that the higher up in the chain that you go, the less likely you are to have complete control over it. And I'm sure he gets used to that in the comics situation. But for the most part, you know, I think he'll probably, like you said, he'll probably be very happy. And I'm sure it will be very close to the story that he wrote in most facets. And like you said, the limitations of what they can animate are certainly things that they had to take into consideration when they just kind of gave him the blank palette of, okay, here, write the story.
Well, you figure, too, a comic writer, he's writing for frames, and you can have, you know, a pretty, you know, big moment, space battle or an explosion or something, and just, you know, you've only got to capture it in, you know, half a dozen frames or whatever the case. I'm not saying that it's easy, don't mistake, but it's certainly a completely different story when you're actually animating, you know, every moment.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that there'd be a disconnect between visualizing something for a comic and visualizing something for an actual, you know, animation. But yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. I mean, based on the fact that, you know, he wrote based on the outline that was given to him, it probably does still have some resemblance to it. But
I'm sure. I'm like you said, I'm sure he'll be very happy with it.
Yeah. So that's cool. So Randy Stradley. Now I think this is really the first story that we have of any confirmation of a particular, you know, comic writer or anyone from the EU having something to do with the TV series. It's been confirmed.
Right.
And I would say reading it on his MySpace page is about as much confirmation as we're going to get.
Yes.
Now, George is in the news of late. And you know, this is one of those things. It's kind of like what last week when we had the story about the potential release of the saga on, and you know, on in blue, on the Blu-ray format.
Right.
This was from FoxNews.com, a story. It was in their celebrity gossip column. So, you know, take it for what you want. But apparently, this particular person was, this correspondent or writer was at an event in New York, and George Lucas happened to be there. And he, at the beginning of the column, he teases about, oh, George Lucas was there. Then he goes into some boring garbage about some other celebrities we don't really care about, but then he comes back and saves, you know, the last third of it for his conversation with Lucas. So basically, he asked him about Indy 4. We could have had this in our Indy 4 update, but there really wasn't much more to the fact that here's where we've learned that Sean Connery still hasn't signed on, but that clearly Dr. Henry Jones is a character. You have confirmation, according to Lucas. It says Lucas is currently preparing Indiana Jones 4 with Harrison Ford, Kate Blanchett, and Shia LaBeouf. The latter plays Ford's son, which means his mother was possibly the character Karen Allen played in Raiders of the Lost Ark. It could be Willie's son, too,
mm-hmm.
from Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Now we know it's not that that German chick from
Elsa.
Elsa, yeah,
because she.
I think we need to hear this again.
It's disgraceful. You're old enough to be her grandfather.
I'm as human as the next man.
I was the next man.
So, Elsa, she was lovely. So we know it's not hers because right. she bites.
Well, she's
it.
Dead.
Yeah, she's dead. So. The reporter poses the question, is it going to be, you know, Karen Allen's, the offspring of Karen Allen's character and Marion and in Indiana? And Lucas says, I can't say. So that was very revealing. But what he does go on to say is, you know, Stephen thinks that we can keep this whole thing a secret. He says, I explained to him that's impossible nowadays. We can't live like that. And I was trying to think about Spielberg really being up against this idea of no one has been under the magnifying glass of fandom quite like George.
No. So he knows it in and out.
Yeah. He knows that, you know, there's the Force.net and Rebel Scum and the Forcecast. And, you know, there's these outlets that are just not going to let any of this stuff be a secret.
Right.
And the fact that Indiana Jones is, you know, by all respects, you know, the cousin of Han Solo,
mm-hmm.
And indeed a cousin to the Star Wars saga, there's a lot of us, quote unquote, jonesing for any information that we can get on the film. So it's kind of interesting. He has to take Steven Spielberg to school a little bit. You know, like, no, you have no idea. There's no secrecy with my fans.
Yeah, look,
there's just not.
You're not going to slip anything past them. You know, which unfortunately means that we're probably going to get some more rumors floated around, like Charlton Heston playing Yoda.
That's your favorite rumor, isn't it?
It is. It just absolutely makes me roll every time I hear it.
Because I could just picture it.
Right.
Anyway, so the other thing is that he's after he says, you know, there are no secrets anymore. The guy says, okay, well, tell me more about Indy 4. And he's like, no.
Well, I mean, you have to work for it. I mean,
yeah, right.
Oh, okay. We're just not going to concede and give it up to you. We're going to have to work for it. But come on.
So being the fact now, this is also kind of cool. Being the fact that, of course, George is his company, Industrial Light and Magic, has done a lot of the special effects for the big summer blockbusters, including Pirates 3. He says the reporter asked him, well, you've seen all the big summer movies. And then he asked him point blank. He said, the only one they didn't work on was Spider-Man 3. He goes, what did you think of it? And George says, well, it's silly. It's a silly movie. There just isn't much there. Once you take it all apart, there's not much story, is there? Well, it's not Star Wars. And he said that with a wink. But then he says, well, people thought Star Wars was silly, too. But it wasn't.
Of course it didn't.
So he thinks Spider-Man... I saw Spider-Man 3. Did you see it?
I have not seen it yet. But I'm anxious to. Let's not go into that at this point.
Okay. All right. I mean, it's not... you know, it wasn't all bad. But this is what you really want to hear. You want to hear about the Clone Wars. So he asked him about the Clone Wars animated series. And he said, you know, it's an animated series. It's derived from Clone Wars. Many of the Star Wars characters appear in it, but they're voiced by other actors. Of course, if you don't remember, Frank Oz has said on prior occasions that he would be doing Yoda's voice in the animated series. Now, I don't know if that's still the case, but that as of C3 or the some of the promotion around the release of Episode 3, he was on board.
Right.
So, now, here's where there's a divergence.
It gets dicey.
Yes. In the Force. Yes, there's a divergence in the Force. Where? And I'm going to read now, verbatim. And here's a little news. Lucas tells me he will make two more live-action films based in the Star Wars era. Quote, but they won't have members of the Skywalker family as characters. They will be other people of that milieu. Milieu.
I appreciate your French.
The two extra films will also be made for TV and probably be an hour long each. But like Clone Wars, Lucas doesn't know where on TV they will land. Hello, HBO and Showtime. It may be time to pony up.
Buck, what?
Yeah. All right.
This doesn't make any sense.
But, no, it really doesn't. I mean, because he says films two times. And then he says hour-long each, and then he's talking about, you know, not having any of the Skywalker family, you know, characters in it. Do we think that he meant to say the TV series?
Of course we do. I do. What about you?
I guess. I'm just holding on to any shred of hope. I was telling Pete earlier, because we do talk, you know, throughout the week when we're not doing the Forcecast. And you know that anybody who watched The X-Files, Mulder had that poster in his office that had the UFO in the forest and it says, I want to believe. Here's what I want. Maybe one of our fans can put this together for me. I want an episode 7, 8, and 9 logos on that poster with, I want to believe. When I hear rumors like that, I can look at that poster and say, yes, it may be. Just maybe. But I don't know. I think you're probably right. But the guy says it's not like he doesn't say film, you know, he says film once and then he says TV show the next time, and he says film twice.
Well,
but
and
the other stuff, an hour long each, made for TV. We got Caravan of Courage again.
Well, and I found myself reading over it several times, in fact, just reading over it again. And it just sounds again like somewhat of a misspeak or a misquote. You know, that information that we've gotten from Lucas, even when it's come from his mouth, hasn't always seemed that accurate. So it makes me wonder, anytime we have anything like this, what that actually is going
to
be.
The one piece to take away from this that I guess anytime he says something more than once, we could consider it confirmation. All right.
Go for it, buddy.
If he says the same thing, I want to believe.
Yeah, that's right.
But this is now the second time that he has referred to two series.
Yes.
Now, the first time, it seemed to be in the realm when he was talking about the animated series, having two animated series. So then he had these rumors about there was going to be like a real kid-friendly animated series, like, you know, Galactic Heroes, the animated series. And then there was going to be, you know, the more, you know, gritty. And, you know, the last time we heard from George, he was talking about when he was on Conan.
Yeah.
He was like, all right, it's going to be dark and, you know, I don't know
PG-13.
Who's going to buy it. We're having a hell of a lot of fun making it. And then Conan's like, yeah, great marketing plan.
Yes.
So I guess maybe the thing to take away from this is there will either be two animated series or two live action series.
I'm actually going to vote for neither, and we're just going to get one of each. And when he talks about two series, he's talking about those both series. You know, it's mind-boggling.
You're such a killjoy. Have a little faith.
Well, you know.
Scully?
That's right. That way I can be wowed and say, look, I was wrong. And I'm so happy I was. But, you know, it's so hard to... It's just deciphering this information as it comes out. Because, again, we're getting it secondhand, maybe even thirdhand.
Right.
It is really difficult. And I want to look towards the future, but C4, I'll bet we get some solid confirmation about something.
Wow, that is going out on a limb.
Yeah, that's right.
What was that again, Pete?
Well, solid information
about something at C4.
That's right. Something pertaining to Star Wars. So you can put that in the bank. You have a Force Cast guarantee on that one.
I love it. Okay. Well, that silly movie that George was referring to, Spider-Man 3 with no story, took down Darth Vader and Captain Jack Sparrow, according to a story here on TheForce.net. The opening weekend haul of Spider-Man 3 shattered the U.S. opening weekend box office record set by Pirates of the Caribbean 2. It's a franchise you hold close to your heart, Pete.
I do.
And the global box office record set by Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. So there you have it. Spider-Man slings a web of defeat.
Over, more like a web of money.
A web, that's right. A web of cash over Darth Vader and Pirates of the Caribbean. But I'm sorry. Spider-Man 3 is nowhere near the film that Episode 3 was. Nowhere close.
Yeah.
Nowhere close. It's really hardly close to X-Men 3. But
well, now you're stretching. Sure.
Well, all right. Harrison Ford.
Making some news other than Indy 4.
Making some news. Giving a little love to Star Wars fans.
I love it.
Can we hear it? About for Harrison? Well, okay. We don't have any. We needed
clip?
Like a... We needed a clip.
Do we have a clip?
No.
I thought we had a clip.
No. No clip, but From the blog of David Waldeck, the editor, project manager of the Star Wars cards at Topps, the 30th anniversary set is going to have... Are we ready? Harrison Ford autographs. I mean...
Do you think they're just going to mail them to him and ask him to sign them and send them back? Or do you think he'll actually do, like, a signing?
No. I mean, he's going to do them in his agent's office or at home or whatever.
With his stamp.
Or at Celebration 4. Sitting in the front row of the Carrie Fisher Spectacular on Saturday night. I picture, like, one of those little student desks, you know, with the little fold-up thing. Right. Sitting there in the front row.
Taking notes.
Almost done. But anyway, no, this is very cool. This is obviously the first time, other than the Millennium Falcon, the Master Replica Signature Edition Falcon that came out that had a Harrison Ford autograph. This is great. I mean, of course, the odds of getting one are about the same as winning the lottery or getting struck by lightning, but there is going to be someone that's going to have a Harrison Ford autograph that he willingly did. You didn't have to accost him in the premiere of, you know, Calista Flockhart's latest TV show. He is doing this as... agreeing to do it. So that's very cool.
And, you know, we do give these Star Wars personalities a hard time, but anytime that they do things like this, it does make for it's a nice gesture for the fans.
It's great. I hope he's getting paid. I mean, I don't mean to make this sound like, oh, he's doing this selfless act. I hope he's getting some money. I'm sure he is.
I'm sure.
But it's for the long time, it seemed like Harrison Ford wouldn't even do anything like this for the money.
Right.
And it's like, what are you, above it, man? Then I fall down and kiss his feet, and because my God, the man is Han Solo and Indiana Jones. I mean, is there really anybody cooler next to Billy Dee Williams?
It's just business, baby.
Anyway, also some Harrison Ford news coming out of the Star Wars The Exhibition in London. Anthony Daniels, everyone's favorite protocol droid, recounted a story that he was at a London restaurant a few years ago and he noticed Harrison Ford. I went over to speak to him and he asked me what dish I recommended. I think he thought I was a waiter. But, sir!
Hello, sir.
Yeah. Do you recommend the shrimp?
Hello, sir.
Do I know you?
Do you think at that point when there was like that
hello,
awkward...
Jason. Hello, Pete. Oh. It's Sheldon.
when there was that awkward moment when
something
Sheldon
goes wrong,
interrupted
yes.
us, there was that awkward moment where he kind of looked at him like, don't you recognize me?
Yeah, right.
And Harrison Ford looks back at him like, should I know you? And do you think Anthony Daniels did the voice?
But see, that's why Harrison needs to show up to these conventions once in a while to keep up with these people.
Right.
You know, he'd know what Tony Daniels looks like now if he'd go to a convention. My goodness. Anyway, great story. Funny.
It's very funny.
I love to think of that whole scene. Now, as a married man, and Pete, as someone who has a steady girlfriend, it's very interesting. Whenever you're kind of sitting around on a Friday night or a Saturday night, and there's nothing new that came out, and you do nothing you really want to rent, and you go to your DVDs,
go to the cabinet,
think, what would I like to watch? And you see the trilogy sitting there, either trilogy, you see the saga sitting there, and you're like, man, I'd really like to watch one of these. But what will my girlfriend say? What will my wife say? Now, my wife, I have to say, she's pretty cool with it. Anytime I want to put a Star Wars movie
that's
in.
That's amazing.
She can always watch one. I've got her to the point where she'll even watch any James Bond movie I want.
Wow.
Which is really cool. She likes to sleep during James Bond movies.
Well, it is comforting.
But a couple weeks ago, I wanted to put in Revenge of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, don't put that. We always try to put a movie or something on before, when we go to bed. And she said, oh, don't put that in because I want to watch it. I'm like,
oh, yes.
I get that. I love you.
Well, and my situation is contrastly different. My girlfriend will watch the movies, but only for me to point out which celebrities are going to be at C4 because she's very celebrity savvy. She wants to, she's very into that culture. So,
yeah.
So I can point out, yes, that person will be there.
That way it means something to her when she sees them.
Right. So hey,
and she's
I'll
a big Hayden Christensen fan.
Right, yes.
which I'm sure that thrills you.
Yes.
But where we're going with this is there was a story over at BBC News where they did a poll of the top 10 most watched movies for male film fans and female film fans. And now the original story that we had here from TheForce.net actually had the full list, but here we just have the top five. Eh, because there's some repeat. But interestingly, Star Wars Trilogy, number one most watched film for men or films. Women, number one, Dirty Dancing.
I would have never guessed that.
Really?
No, of course I would have.
My wife's favorite movie.
It would have been Dirty Dancing or Grease.
Well, yeah, Grease is number three.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so number two for women?
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars.
Amazing.
Now, is this because the men are making them watch it, or is this...
Frankly, we don't care.
You know, I think this shatters a lot of stereotypes.
I think it does as well, as this show has.
That's right, this show has. And I mean, I mean, clearly, when you go to a con, you are going to have more men, I think, there than women.
Sure.
But you know what? I don't think the odds are quite what, you know, what the stereotype is.
Right.
I really don't. And I tell you, we have a lot of female listeners to this show, and they get hot, man. They get mad when this becomes kind of a boys' club, or, you know, it's assumed that they're not as dedicated or that there aren't as many female fans. Just to kind of run down the list here, men's most watched films, top five, Star Wars Trilogy, Aliens, The Terminator, Blade Runner, and The Godfather. Again, this comes from Sky Movies and a story over at the BBC. Women's most watched films, Dirty Dancing, Star Wars Trilogy, Grease, The Sound of Music, and Pretty Woman. I think those are literally my wife's top five favorite movies. She is
they
so
nailed it.
Typical. She's so typical for, you know, apparently a British female fan.
Well, and I know I've contributed to the Star Wars being at the top of the franchise.
Oh, definitely. Aliens, I'm not too big of a fan.
I am a big fan.
Okay. The Terminator, I hardly ever watch the first one. I love T2.
Yeah.
T2 ranked on women's most watched in the top 10. I remember that specifically. I don't remember where it was. Number four, Blade Runner. I am totally not into Blade Runner, but I think it's because I saw it a long time ago. I was a little kid, and I didn't really get it. It was a little ahead of its time.
I did a paper on Blade Runner when I was in college.
Did you really?
For a philosophy class. It was actually quite good.
If you do say so yourself.
If I do say so myself.
And number five, The Godfather. A film you've never seen, right?
Right.
All right, we're gonna do that. It is.
No pun intended.
Yeah, it is a crime.
But to make up for it, I've seen Star Wars a bunch.
How many times?
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Thank you, Tracy.
All right, now speaking of polls and surveys, over at Wizard Entertainment at wizarduniverse.com, there was a poll. Now again, this is Wizard Universe.
This is so wizarding.
Where they counted down over the three decades of Star Wars, the top 10 moments in Star Wars history, the top 10 film moments, and the top 10 moments in comics. So we're gonna run these down, okay? Pete, I'll start at number 10. Are you with me?
I am.
And okay, we'll alternate these. Number 10, Vader versus Obi-Wan, Episode 3.
Number 9, Leia is a slave for you, Episode 6. Kind of surprised that wasn't higher.
Yeah, me too. Number 8. Yoda whips out a lightsaber, Episode 2.
7, Jabba debuts, and that's the debut in Episode 6, not the one in the special edition of Episode 4.
I've always had a problem with it. Always had a problem with the way Jabba looks in Episode 1. I know I'm not the only one that feels that, or in Episode 4. No, I'm not the only way to be. Because he looks so cool in Episode 6.
Yeah. Well, at least he doesn't look like a walking chestnut, which is what he looked like in the deleted scene. So
right, when they just had that bad actor
right,
there.
Yeah, when they just had that
like
guy.
Solo.
Wearing...
Han. Hey, I think he's got the bad accent.
Yes.
Actually, I think that was his real accent. Anyway. I'm sorry. Number 6, Han gets frozen. Episode 5, one of my all-time favorite moments.
Number 5, Qui-Gon versus Maul versus Obi-Wan in Episode 1. A fantastic duel, one of my favorites. My favorite of the Star Wars trilogy.
Number 4, A Wretched Hive, Episode 4, when Luke and Ben walk into the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Number 3, Vader betrays the Emperor in Episode 6, the ultimate climax.
Number 2, Luke, I am your father.
It was quite good.
Yeah, the mic helps.
Well, you know, and maybe a cold or two, but that's all right. And of
from
course,
episode 5.
Yes, and the number one moment in the Star Wars trilogy, the first Death Star goes kaboom. Of course, episode 4, when Luke makes a great shot and sends the Death Star a-blowing up.
Thanks to Han Solo, of course.
Yes. You're all clear, kid.
You know, this is a great list. I think I would probably have a few differences, but... I don't think I would have added anything.
No.
Except one.
That being?
The end of Jedi, the reveal of Anakin, the helmet coming off. I love that scene.
That is... Maybe they include that in the whole betrayal part. But, you know, everybody's list is going to be slightly
that's
different.
True.
There's
let's
no
see.
Doubt about that, so...
Yeah, actually, let's see. Chuck's palpy down the chasm, proving Luke was right about Vader. Now, there's still something about that, especially when Luke is trying to carry Vader. What's amazing, you know, Mark Hamill's not a very big guy, and just when right after he chucks Vader or Palpy down the down the reactor, he kind of lays Vader, you know, back, and he just looks enormous. He just dwarfs Luke.
Yeah,
and then you know Luke's trying to drag him through the hangar, you know, to the shuttle. It's just so cool. Sorry.
That's all right.
I'm lobbying. I'm lobbying for that moment.
Hey, it's over. You can't vote anymore, so.
Okay, here we go. best comic book moments. I'm going to be honest and say some of these I'm quite unfamiliar with, but we'll do our best to run them through. I'll go ahead and start if you don't mind.
Sure.
Indiana Jones is number 10. Indiana Jones meets Han Solo's corpse from Star Wars Tale number 19.
Number 9 is Darth Maul eclipses the Black Sun. That is the finale Darth Maul number 4 of the Darth Maul mini series that they did.
Number 8, Tag and Bink, you're it from the return of Tag and Bink.
Number 7, Luke versus Leia, the Star Wars Infinities A New Hope number 4, where Luke and Leia duke it out.
Number 6, Darth Vader versus Darth Maul, Star Wars Tales number 9.
Number 5, Luke marries Mara Jade. How could it get better than that? Star Wars Union number 4.
Number 4, Boba Fett versus Darth Vader, coming from Boba Fett, Enemy of the Empire, number 4.
Number 3, Darth Vader, a good guy. Star Wars Infinity's Return of the Jedi, number 4. Of course, features the famous white-armored Darth Vader.
Number 2, Luke becomes Palpatine's apprentice. Star Wars Dark Empire number 2.
And the number 1 moment, Chewbacca dies. Star Wars Chewbacca number 4.
Oh.
Don't even like to think about it.
No. No.
I get a little verklempt.
No. Don't. So we might as well take our mind off it with a little collecting news.
A fine addition to my collection.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
He's worth a lot to me.
Action figures each sold separately.
Okay, now we know that the pushback, the postponement of the Star Wars Unleashed, the video game, and of course all of the peripheral media that goes along with it, including the action figures, has caused a hole.
A restructuring.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, a gaping chasm of no product. No, seriously. So there's been some. The decision was made at Hasbro. They need to insert a new wave, and they needed to insert a new wave very quickly. So this is what we're getting. These are 7 repainted figures that are going to be added to the 30th anniversary collection basic figure line in late 2007, replacing the aforementioned Force Unleashed figure line. Here we got holographic Darth Vader. Hard to believe that there hasn't been one.
Right.
This is based on the Power of the Jedi Darth Vader, the Dagobah Vader, and it's been suggested previously, and fans actually did suggest this using the Power of the Jedi body, but the removable head and force mask will not, or face mask, force mask, will not be included. But you're going to get a holo Vader, so that's pretty
cool.
There you go. R2-B1, a repaint of the Return of the Sith, Revenge of the Sith, R4-G9, So R2-B1 has been kind of a tough figure to get. Doing quite well in the Saga Legends tournament, but not doing enough to come out on top. So we're going to get one.
It jumps back in.
Clone Trooper with Brown Deco, a repaint of the Revenge of the Sith. Clone Trooper number 3, or number 41. So an updated version with the Brown Deco. A Naboo Soldier in the Red Suit repaint from the Saga Collection.
Tonka
the Naboo
Tom.
Soldier. Yeah, Tonka Tom.
He won't look quite so Tonka in red.
He'll look less Tonka. Rebel Vanguard from Star Wars Battlefront. Now, this is a pretty cool thing. This is a repaint of the Saga Collection Rebel Trooper to look as he did in the Battlefront game. And the Clone Trooper in Clone Wars Deco, a repaint of Clone Trooper of a previous Clone Trooper figure to make him look as he did in the Clone Wars animated series. Now, it won't have an animated style, but it'll have the same kind of paint deco. And then a repaint of the vintage Greedo figure to make Pax, well, and Trax, Bonkick. So, there you go. That's going to replace the... I mean, not replace.
It's not going to replace
that's
it, but...
true. You know, those figures will eventually come out, but they'll be out next year rather than this year.
It is exciting because more and more, we just see more of these EU figures and these figures that we may have missed, or more importantly, that we've wanted to see showing up. So kudos to the folks over at Hasbro for getting that together.
Yeah, I know that there are a lot of folks out there that, and I myself included, you know, that get kind of tired of the repaints, but they had no choice at this point. I mean, there's just
right.
You know, they have to do
something. There's
only
so much they can do in this time period.
Exactly, and it's clear that they went back to some of the Saga Legends, the information that they got from the Saga Legends poll, and said, hey, well, let's do some of these that, you know, that where it was clearly a demand for, but
sure,
that didn't fare too well because everybody wanted troopers and army builders. Speaking of troopers and army builders, I have requested that there be no more Shadow Stormtrooper or Black Hole Stormtrooper is made. I think it's just too darn easy of a variant, isn't it? It's just too easy. But there's another one coming. Rumored to be based on the Gentle Giant animated Stormtrooper. That's right, friends. Just take a negative image, which is exactly what Dan Curto did cleverly at rebelscum.com to show what this would look like. He just did a reverse negative image of the animated Stormtroopers. So, you know, they keep coming. They keep coming.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. What are you going to do? A little bit of gaming news here. According to VGGen.com and CodenameRevolution.com, could the complete LEGO Star Wars saga be coming to the Nintendo Wii as early as Christmas 2007? That is the rumor. Now, this would be both of the LEGO Star Wars games together in a package and an adjusted controller configuration for the Wii remote. So, very well could be a little piece offering. Since I still, even with the postponement of Unleashed, I do not think that's coming out for the Wii.
No,
at least not in the format that that people are hoping for.
No, we would like to play. Well, you know, the it's nice of them to go ahead and jump out, and they had to have some sort of Star Wars offering on the Wii. You just can't overlook it. So I'm glad that they are actually going out and doing something. Of course, we would all like to see more of a leaning towards the Force Unleashed, but hey, we'll take it what we can get.
Well, sure. Well, sure. Now, one thing that we wanted to, since there's been a lot of celebration news, and we can't possibly cover it all in our little celebration tip, and I didn't actually want the tip that we give every week to kind of be overshadowed by the news. But there is some celebration news that some kind of late breaking stuff here. We just cut an interview with a great guy, Shane Turgeon, who is the writer of the new book, Force in the Flesh, which is the book that picture book, and, you know, has a lot of narrative about the folks that are in it. showing Star Wars tattoos and body art. So it sounds like a really cool book. It goes on sale officially May. Oh my. May 24th at Celebration 4. Of course, there are links to get to that if you aren't going to Celebration 4. We'll get a little bit more to for those of you that aren't going to Celebration 4. But as part of Celebration 4, there's going to be a tattoo exhibit throughout the convention. There's also going to be a tattoo contest on Saturday. And then Saturday evening, there's going to be a mixer, kind of a get-together and, you know, with other folks that are all tatted up. Now, Pete, you are tatted up.
Yes, but not Star Wars.
Not Star Wars tatted up. I have no tattoo. I am smooth as a bear baby's bottom.
Well, and I think...
No hair. I'm hairless.
It'll be a while before you decide.
No tattoos. Oh, no, I don't have the constitution.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't do it.
And I'm thinking of what my offering will be if I get a Star Wars tattoo, so...
Right. Well,
this will be a good place.
Yeah, it's a great place to figure out what exactly... You know, you want to
what other people have done and get some ideas, because tattoos are very personal. So you have to make sure that you're not copying off of people. So
right. Well, one other thing that's going on Saturday, actually. Now, for those of you who've been to previous conventions, you know that one of the best costumes to wear as a female fan of Star Wars is, of course, the gold bikini. It's a very lovely costume. I encourage female fans to wear it. So every year there's a lot of them, and there's a lot of some of them than others, a lot more of some of them than others. But at any rate, Leia's bikini, metalbikini.com is organizing what they hope is the largest group photo of Slave Leia costumers ever on May 26th at Celebration 4. They're going to have a life-size Jabba the Hutt and throne built by one of the best sculpture companies in the business. That'll be the backdrop. The E! Channel and some other media outlets are going to be there to cover the event. So that's cool.
That's a good promo.
It's a great promo. We could learn something from them. The group will be held at C4 on May 26th at 2 o'clock in the dealer's room. That's something you may not want to miss. Now, there's I got to tell you, Saturday at 2 o'clock, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, but...
You've got Kyle Newman and the cast of Fanboys doing a panel. You've got the Robot Chicken panel, and you got all the ladies in the bikini.
Princess Leia in the gold bikini? Ugh, every guy our age loved that. It's huge. Yeah, that's the moment when you know, she stopped being a princess and she became, like, you know, a woman.
That's right. And I became a man. So there you have it. You might want to check that out. Now, we also have an announcement here from our own Jay Shepherd. Jay is joining us to talk a little bit more about what we're going to be doing, a little special added value for our listeners for C4. All right, so Jay, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay, our own Jay Shepherd here on the Forcecast hotline to tell us about some extra added value that we have for our listeners and readers of the Force.net and Rebel Scum, kind of to help them survive Celebration 4. Now, Jay, we are really pushing the envelope here, right? Technology-wise, this is a brand new thing.
I'm so excited about this. I mean, if I were going, I know I'd want one of these, and I'm glad we came up with the idea, so I gotta, you know, push the envelope here. What we're doing for listeners of our show and readers of Rebel Scum and the Force.net is we are putting together our survival guide, which... people have come to expect on the website, but what we're doing as an extra added value this year is we are making an iPod survival guide.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, if you have a video iPod, an iPod Nano, or one of the previous, I guess it's the fourth generation with the video screen on it, you can go to a website we'll give you. You can download a little manager, and what will happen is you can download this content directly on your iPod. And what is this content? Well, we're going to have the addresses and phone numbers for all the hotels. We'll have, as soon as they come out with it, we're going to have the schedule on there. which is going to be the most important thing. Information about your airlines.
So, Jay, hold on. I just want to interject here just to make sure that our listeners are understanding. This is not audio content. This is actually printed content that you'll be able to read on your iPod screen. Right?
Well, actually, we may have some audio content on there. We could have some video content on there, but at this point, probably not. But the system is designed for it.
Oh, okay.
There are pictures. So you'll be able to look at maps of the downtown LA area and of the convention center. And all of this stuff will be on your iPod. So when you're running around, you know, at 2 o'clock on Saturday trying to figure out what you're trying to do, you can just dial into your iPod. It's it just stores it in the notes section, if anyone's ever used the notes section on the video or nano iPods, because you can, like, put your contacts list and stuff there. And you can find out everything that's going on. And then maybe you're heading over to the artist's room and you want to find out what someone's print looks like, and you can't find them and you're looking around for it. And so you can dial it up on your iPod and click on it, and you can see what the print looks like.
That's awesome. Yeah,
we're going to have some dining guides on here. We're trying to put as much information as you need to be on the floor at the convention for 5 days. And we can put it all on your iPod. And we're hoping that as soon as the information on the final schedule comes out, we've been trying to keep up with the scheduling that StarWars.com has listed, but of course not everything is listed there. I mean, there's lots of little panels and signings here and there, and hopefully they'll have those in the update. But as soon as we get that, we want to get this out to people. So we're hoping to get this out middle of next week, and that'll give people some time to download it. And if we need to, we'll do an update before the actual show.
Oh, okay, so maybe there, if we'll announce it either at on the force.net and rebelscum.com if there's an even more updated version to grab before you leave for the show.
Yeah, exactly. If you do end up downloading this, I mean, just make sure you check in on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday before you leave, and we'll get what we can up. And you know, if you have access, you can probably even download it once you get out to Los Angeles. Then,
well, not only are we going to have our pre-celebration megacast of the Force Cast, complete with interviews, just Star Wars tales, I should call them celebration tales, complete rundown of the big events that are happening that you're not going to want to miss. We're also going to have this as well, something that you can carry with you all the time, a running guide. And we couldn't come from a better source. I mean, Jay, you have some experience in with the greater LA area, is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in and went to school out there. So just in terms of some of the things in the area and you know, what I would think that people would need when they come into Los Angeles to have as information, shuttle services and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we've got the list of all the hotels. So if your buddy tells you he's staying at the Hilton, you can look it up and get the phone number and, you know, get in touch with them, or it's got the address and everything right there as well.
Perfect.
So, yeah, so this is really exciting, and it doesn't take up hardly any space at all. It's I think our downloads, like, I don't know, probably a couple megabytes. I mean, it's really pretty small. It's not good. So, you know, basically you can keep all your music and everything and all the podcasts on your iPod, and this will just... Yeah, this will just take up a little extra space, but it has tons and tons of content we've been gathering now for the last month or so.
So it's really kind of a C4 survival guide all in one spot and schedule and everything. Well, Jay, I know you've been working on this for a long time, and on behalf of everyone, I really appreciate it, because I know I'm going to be using it.
Yep.
Because there's going to be so much to cover and so much to do.
Well, thank you very much, Jason, and of course you're the one who turned me onto the website where we're putting it together. So thank you very much for that, and
hey.
I think we'll be using this in the future for some other stuff.
I had the easy part.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Jay, thanks so much. Appreciate it, and enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right. So thanks to Jay for not only doing that, but staying up a little bit later tonight to be on the show. You know, speaking of Jay, a lot of you know him as the human holocron, the guy that knows more about the EU than the EU itself, but I happen to know something else about Jay. He's a bit of a songsmith, and
he
let me tell you, when he gets hold of a tune, That's when it really takes off. So as some of you know, that there's a portion of the Star Wars Celebration 4 programming. It's called Star Wars Celebrity. Steve Sansweet talked about it. It's not really Star Wars American Idol, but it kind of is. Where you get to do, you know, show off your Star Wars related talent. And there was a YouTube channel that was set up to kind of solicit entries, and our own Jovial J. Shepherd, you got to check it out. You can, I think are we mirroring it over at Forcecast TV?
It is on our Forcecast channel.
On our Forcecast channel, you can find us by doing a search for The Force Net. We are sort of unofficially calling that Forcecast TV. There will be more Forcecast TV content coming soon, but we really can't talk about that.
Hint, hint, hint.
Hint, hint, hint for the future. But here is Jovial J. Shepherd with his Star Wars talent, singing your favorite and mine, Barry Manilow.
Growing up on Coruscant, having all that I could want, met a little kid, a boy from Tatooine, talented and bright, had powers I'd not seen, training him to be a knight, showing him the wrong from right. Deep inside his eyes, he has a memory, never realized how evil he'd soon be. Where you turned and you fell to the dark side, I heard you married Padme, oh Annie. Well, you left you for dead, cause you're deep fried, I couldn't turn you away, oh.
Oh, I want to hear the bridge so bad.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, you know what I love about that?
What's that?
You can tell, he may not admit it, anybody who can do a parody that close, he loves the Manilow.
He is a fan.
Shepherd, come out. That's right. He is a Manilow. I'm a big Manilow fan. I'm going to admit it right here in front of tens of people. I'm going to admit it.
All of you. Both of you. No, we fully expect all of the Forcecast listeners to show their support for Jay Shepherd during Star Wars Celebrity. So
we have it.
Be out there with, you know, your lighters or whatever you need to show your support.
We were rocking here in the Forcecast studios, I can tell you that. But yeah, make sure that if you're going to be at Celebration 4 and you come to the Star Wars Celebrity, in case Jay is one of the lucky ones to get up on stage, because we've got to show all the love for Jay. Can you feel the love tonight? I sense another parody coming on, maybe. But now, in the midst of all of this jubilation and celebration, it's important to remember, and I'm not being, you know, facetious here. It is important to remember that there are a lot of really dedicated Star Wars fans that aren't able to make it for whatever reason. Economic reasons, can't get off work, it's too far to go, afraid to fly. You know, lots of different reasons. But we don't want to leave any fan left behind. So you've heard of No Child Left Behind. Well, the Forcecast is here to do no, or to pledge No Fan Left Behind. So your first No Fan Left Behind update from our good friend, Mike.
We would be honored if you would join us.
That is something I know I cannot do.
What options have we?
Doesn't look like we have much of a choice.
We seem to be made to suffer. It's our lot in life.
Looks like I'm going nowhere.
If you're like me,
You're one of the sad few who, because of some unseen dark side force, is unable to go to Celebration 4 this year.
I can't get involved. I've got work to do. I hate it, but there's nothing I can do about it right now.
Aside from the obvious loss this brings, let no one question our dedication to the cause.
Impressive.
And yet, during these times that try our very souls, we must not fear. For Master Yoda said,
fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Still, it feels like we are stranded on Hoth while everyone else is enjoying the sunny beaches of Kashyyyk. Or, like everybody else gets to go to the academy, but we have to stay home and finish our chores until the end of the harvest.
You can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
And so in light of all of this, let's consider the benefits of not going to Celebration 4. First and foremost, with all the other fans gone, you have first dib at the Star Wars toys when you make your toy runs. Also, you can watch the premiere of the Star Wars documentary, The Legacy Revealed, on the History Channel. You also don't have to pay for an autograph from your lifelong heroes, who you may never, ever have a chance to see again, even if they do charge an extra $15. And of course, you can host your own Star Wars movie marathon with all your friends while everyone else is hanging out with the people that created Star Wars to begin with. And so, for all my fellow fans who are going to Celebration 4, have an amazing time. As for me, I'll be sitting here weeping silently in the corner. For the Force Cast and the No Fan Left Behind campaign, I'm Matt Pelishek.
Matt, I called him Mike, didn't I?
Nice going. Yeah, sorry. Way to make him feel like he's being taken with us.
Yeah, right. No Fan Left Behind. What's your name? I'm sorry.
Am I supposed to know you?
It's late.
I'm Anthony Daniels. Thank you very much, Harrison Ford.
Hello, sir.
No, thank you, Matt. I didn't mean to say Mike. I was looking at something that was posted by Mike at the same time I was talking, and, you know, I'm like Anchorman. You put anything in front of my eyes, that's what I'm going to read. You stay classy, Force Cast listeners. But no, thank you to Matt for putting that together. He's I feel his pain. I really do, because I wasn't able to go to the first two celebrations.
Right.
And I consider myself a big fan. But I just wasn't able to at the time. Didn't have the money, was a poor college student, and then I was a newlywed. Just, that was life. So we certainly don't want to question their fandom. There are some things that are going on outside of Celebration 4 during that time. If you're in the Columbus area, on May 25th at 3 o'clock p.m., there's going to be an unveiling ceremony for the Star Wars stamps right here in the Midwest. So you might want to inquire about that. It's going to be at the Marcon Sci-Fi Convention. The stamps are going to be available, you know, after the event. So there's something you can do. So if you're in the Midwest, you might want to check that out. Also, if you're in Peru, or as they call it, Peru, I think.
I was going to say, when were you there?
This is kind of cool. You go to StarWarsRebellionPeru.com. This is the unofficial Peru Star Wars celebration. It's happening in conjunction on the 25th, 26th, and 27th of May. And again, you can check out the details there at StarWarsRebellionPeru.com. They are a cultural association joining various worldwide celebrations, of course, for the first 30 years of Star Wars. And they've organized this event for the fans and the public. And again, it's going to be the 25th, 26th, and 27th. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce where it is and embarrass myself, but they're going to have live entertainment, Star Wars presentations, you know, they're playing video games, there's going to be books, costumes, action figures, dioramas, lightsaber battle demos, as much as they can put together. So hats off to them for creating their own event. So if you're in Peru, you can't make it to Los Angeles, there's an event for you, and we'll make sure we have the link to that on our show notes. So, truly and honestly, I'm sitting here wearing my C4 badge. I got it in the mail today, my 4-day pass, and I'm going to affix a logo, a sticker, as soon as we get these available, or we're hopefully going to have them at theforce.net to download, and you can put them on some kind of a sticker adhesive. We'd like to see as many people put the official No Fan Left Behind sticker or ribbon on your badge to show your support, and that we are remembering our brothers and sisters in the Force that couldn't make it to Celebration 4. And I can assure you that we have a lot of really cool things planned that hopefully being a listener to this show and reading theforce.net and rebelscum.com regularly will be the next best thing to being there live. So we're going to do our best to do it justice. And with that, it's time for a little bit of mail.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arkin, the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him. It's a trick. Send no reply.
And we're going to start off with just some regular listener feedback voicemails that we've received lately. And we'll finish with a Star Wars tale. This first comes from our good buddy John in Connecticut. John was talking about, was referring to, I think it was last week or a couple weeks ago, we had some fans send in, you know you're a Star Wars geek when, and there's some allusions to the Forcecast. But John thought of one on his own here. So here's John.
Hey, JMP, it's John from Connecticut again. Just struck me kind of funny. I had one of those, you know you're a Star Wars geek when moments when I just left you a voicemail. I realized that I had you on my speed dial. Yeah, that's right. I'm a Star Wars geek, and I'm proud of it. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Forcecast.
Absolutely. Again, our brothers in arms.
That's right. Here is, I don't think he says his name. This is somebody taking me to task a bit on my tirade.
Us.
Yes, that's right. I'm so used to me being the bad guy.
And I was.
And
I
you
jumped
were the
right
one.
In.
You
yeah.
jumped. Yeah. You led it. You started the rebellion.
I did.
We had a few.
It felt good.
We I know you would. We had some differences of opinion about whether or not Carrie Fisher should charge extra money for being there. And here is a dissenter saying that we were wrong, that she has every right to charge the. Actually, he just says, here's probably why.
Hey, guys, I just got done listening to your latest podcast, and I heard you going off on Carrie Fisher charging $15 extra for her appearance at C4. And I'm no big Carrie Fisher fan. Let me start by saying that, because I took my 7-year-old to meet her last year and get her autograph, and she never even looked up from the table for half a second to even look at us or acknowledge us. But that being that, I just thought I would say it sounds to me that that's more like Gen Con wanting to limit the number of people by actually charging a nominal fee rather than opening it up to everybody and probably not having enough room for everybody to get in and disappointing a lot of people. So while I'm not necessarily defending Carrie Fisher, I am kind of defending the Gen Con and C4 people to just say they're probably trying to limit the people that come in by making a slight deterrent. So anyway, love the show. Just thought I would mention that, and take care. Bye.
Oh, leave it to one of our level-headed listeners to cut through all of our rhetoric
cut
and passion. No, it's a great thought.
It is a great point.
It is. It's probably why.
And that's going to be a big issue, and something I hadn't considered is that space is going to be limited regardless of what goes on. And I remember the hours that we spent waiting to see George Lucas. I mean, we were very happy to see it and would do it gladly again in a heartbeat, but it was quite a long time.
Yes, it was. But if you remember, by the third show, people were just walking in.
That's true.
You know,
that is true.
They made such a big deal of it, but they didn't know what to expect.
Right. That's the other thing. And they probably have a better gauge of what's going on at this point.
And for more information about Pete and I and our time at the George Lucas line, you want to tune into our pre-celebration celebration where we'll regale you with that tale. It's a good one.
Yes.
All right. We've got, let's see, here's Brandon from Texas saying, where are my toys? Take it away, Brandon.
Hi, this is Brandon from Lewisville, Texas. I called a few weeks ago about Peter Mayhew. First of all, I wanted to clarify that I don't hate the guy. Great guy. But I have a question. I live about 20 minutes away from Dallas, Texas, not too far. And I still have yet to see Wave 1 of these figures. I was been really out of collecting since I moved out on my own and, you know, actually have to pay bills and whatnot with hard-earned money. Plus, I'm married and married to someone who really doesn't understand Star Wars. But she understands 30th anniversary, and honestly, if we have the money, we would be the first ones in line to see for, you know, the guy that he was last month stood in line. LA is trying to get him off the street, that guy. But we still get to see Wave 1, and it's really heartbreaking because my wife is actually letting me set aside money for two or three figures a payday. I mean, per payday, spend $20 per payday on these figures so I can get them. And, you know, buying stuff like this, you know, she really, really doesn't let me do, but since it's the 30th anniversary, you know, she's, you know, go ahead, fine, go ahead, do it. But I can't even get Wave 1 here. I've checked the Walmarts, nothing, of course. Targets, nothing. Toys R Us, nothing. KB, we don't have one anymore. You know, I'm wondering, do I need to travel into Dallas or even Fort Worth, where I've heard, you know, rumors that there might be some Wave 1s? If anybody hears this, and if you guys decide to go ahead and podcast it, I'd appreciate some feedback. Thanks, guys, and love the show. Bye.
Well, all I can tell you, Brandon, is patience.
they are
that
out
is
there.
Strange. That is strange that he... It sounds like he's a pretty dedicated collector and is hitting the stores.
A good hunter.
A good hunter. And strange that he hasn't seen Wave 1 because Wave 2 is starting to show up.
And there are certainly some that I've seen a lot of Wave 1 that just are hanging there. So you would think there would be some remnant hanging out. You know, I don't know. Sometimes
Pete, I'm going to throw it to you because you are much more the hunter than I am. You know that I take the easy way out and I just pre-order my case slots. Which I would suggest to Brandon. I would suggest to Brandon that he look into doing that because I just got tired of exactly this.
Yeah.
Now when I want to see the latest wave, I just open up my closet. But you know what? I'm going to have to preface this by saying I'm a little concerned.
Have you gotten your Wave 1
yet? I haven't gotten my Wave 1 yet. I haven't. All right. All right. I still have faith.
As well you should, my friend.
Well, and by the way, need I remind you that you are counting on my Wave 2 coming in for the EU comic 2-packs.
I am.
So there.
Look, I...
But I did, you know what? You should tell the listeners what I did for you over the weekend.
You bought me two things that I was quite happy to get, that being the Sith Infiltrator and the Quinlan Vos comic 2-pack, which I've been waiting for very, very patiently, but with a lot of anticipation. So I appreciate that. And yes, I do rely on you slightly for a crutch in case I can't find anything. But in that same vein, I am going
so
out
kind.
There, trudging through the...
You love the hunt.
I do. I do enjoy the hunt, although, like Brandon said, it's frustrating sometimes.
Now, you've seen... Have you physically seen every figure in the first two waves at some point?
No.
You've seen all of Wave 1?
I've seen all of Wave 1, and I've seen the majority of Wave 2, with the exception of course, the McQuarrie concept figures.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Boba. And I only saw the McQuarrie concept figure once for the Stormtrooper, and I snapped it up as soon as I saw it.
I heard a kick-arse review of the McQuarrie Boba Fett, by the way, on something else. I won't mention it, but I heard a really good review of it. It's a dynamite figure, from what I gather.
Well, I'm anxiously anticipating it.
It's an opener.
It's an opener. Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm thinking, is it's going to be hard to find as many as I want.
Yeah.
But, well, Brandon, we feel your pain. If we find out any information, we will be happy to pass it along to you.
And coming in with our wrapping up things here of our listener mail, we've got Sheldon from Canada with his Star Wars
tale. So this
tale.
Is my Star Wars /2187 tale. Ontario, Canada, 1985. I was around 14 or 15 years old. I was taking frequent trips to the library to, quote, research Star Wars and look up past articles in Time magazine and other magazines, collecting clippings, any kind of news piece, anything I could find, scrapbooking Star Wars. My room was somewhat of a Star Wars shrine, models hanging from the ceiling, several posters, books, any collectible print that came out, the art of books. But the one thing that really had kind of stuck with me, the most important book of my collection to me at that time, Skywalking, The Life and Times of George Lucas by Dave Pollack. Page 49. Like a fat man who couldn't stop eating, Lucas gorged himself on movies. He and his friends saw as many as 5 films on a weekend. Lucas' favorite films remained the shorts made by the National Film Board of Canada, particularly 2187, an abstract film made up of news footage with image and sound juxtaposed out of context. Halfway through the film, a man wakes up and says, "You're 2187, aren't you?" and smiles. The only dialogue in the film. Page 73. The pace was exhausting. Lucas worked weekdays at Verna Field's house editing President Johnson footage, and each night and every weekend he directed THX 1138-4EB, the ultimate homage to his favorite film, 2187. And I had to know what this film was about that inspired him so much that he would insert its title into Star Wars.
We gotta find out which cell this princess of yours is in. Here it is, 2187.
A couple of weeks later, I get a call from the library. They tell me that a print has arrived, 2187. The librarian brought me into this back room. They turn on the projector. I'm sitting in the dark, and up comes this magical film which defies description. It spoke to me as a pure example of the power of cinema. It wasn't long after that I went to the guidance counselor's office to find out which film programs I could apply to. 22 years later. All this to say, I'm very happy now producing a biography series using all the cinematographic influences that came from some of those early screenings of films that inspired Lucas. And the only reason I was watching these films, of course, was their connection to Star Wars. And that's my little tale about how Star Wars directly or indirectly has influenced me and how it's brought me to where I am today in my modest but very satisfying film career.
I've learned something today.
That being?
Well, that was a great tale. I mean, it was very educational. So I want to thank Sheldon for that, and invite him anytime you want to educate us like that. That's cool. That's cool. I too have read Skywalking.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend a little known book called George Lucas Interviews. Here comes my dog, by the way, Forcecast listeners. Trumpeting down the stairs, jingle jangle goes the collar. Anyway, totally derailed. But if you're into reading up on George, Skywalking is a great book, but so is George Lucas Interviews. It's tough to find. You usually have to order it. You don't just walk into your bookstore and pick it up. But it has just about every major interview, print interview, and some, I think, TV interviews that he's given, transcribed, from just prior to the release of THX 1138 through announcing the development of the prequels. So it's quite cool. You might want to check that one out. I was just getting caught into the music. I forgot we have to talk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what?
I love this. I love this.
It's a great mix.
It is. It is. It never gets old for me.
Nope.
Anyway, we want to thank the whole staff that makes the show possible. We want to thank Dustin Roberts, Jimmy Mack, Jay Shepard, Dan Curto, you, Pete. And a special thank you to one of our most dedicated listeners, John Fagan, Darth Fagan in the forums. He sent this incredibly funny Flash video that was kind of sending us off to Celebration 4. John's not going to be there, unfortunately, but he was wishing us all the best, and it's this well, we're going to get it up on the YouTube channel as soon as possible. Pete's been working at getting that converted, so hopefully by the time you hear this podcast, it'll be over there. Make sure you check out our YouTube channel. Look for username TheForceNet. It's spelled out. No dot in there. The Force Net. And there are lots of other ways to contact us, Pete.
Well, you can contact us on our Skype line at username ForceCast, or you can also dial us up the old-fashioned way at 330-871-4TFN. Don't even know my own number. 330-871-4TFN. And, of course, you can send us an email at podcast@theforce.net. And our Rebel Scum forums are always bringing new and incredible information for you. So check out all those ways to contact us or stay in touch with the ForceCast.
All right, sending us out here is a little clip from the Conan O'Brien show that Pete talked about last week when Will Arnett followed George Lucas and had an amusing story about his agent running into George Lucas at one point. So we're going to go ahead and play that for you here, and we'll be back next week with one more regular edition of the ForceCast before we get into our kick-arse celebration pre-show extravaganza. You craziness. Don't want to miss that. So much, so much to talk about in so little time. For the ForceCast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
Did you meet George Lucas backstage?
I did not. I did not meet him backstage. I would have liked to. I actually ran across, didn't run across him. I ran into him once in L.A.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago. True story. I know, but just hold. I ran into him. I was outside a building, and I was there with my manager, who will remain Peter Principato. And, thank you, guys.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I was standing outside this building. George Lucas comes out, and I'm like, oh, my God, George Lucas, you know, the big-time director, Star Wars. I'm such a – just in awe of the guy. And he walks by, and my manager, like a manager, is on his BlackBerry, and he's just like this. And he sees him coming, and he's about 5 feet away and just goes, hi. Okay. And George Lucas, who's just seeming like a nice guy, just goes, hi, and keeps walking to a waiting car. And my manager just goes, big fan.
Bastard.
I'm like, that's George. Are you an idiot?
Yeah, yeah.
That's George, the guy, big fan. Thank God you told him.
Yeah.
Thank God you can take your eyes off your BlackBerry for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we can sleep.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC, unless otherwise indicated.